back to Hollywood and the Pete McMurray Show on 720 WGN.
720 WGN, Pete McMurray, Allstate Showcase Studios, live in Hollywood. The lead singer of Sugar Ray, Mark McGrath, in studio with us. I was going to say the former host of Extra, also in studio with us.
I'm proud of that one, too. A four-year run there at Extra, believe it or not.
So you left Extra, and then Mario Lopez took over. Is that right?
Mr. Lopez, absolutely. You know, and by the way, he will kick your butt. I mean, he's
drives
a fighter.
Me crazy.
No, he's a fighter. Not he's the best-looking guy, but he's a fighter. He trains with Manny Pacquiao and Freddie Roach and those guys over at Wild Card over there in Hollywood. He really knows how to fight. There's these things called smokers where these underground boxing matches, and he fights like top 10 dudes. The guy's a real deal.
You're kidding me.
Oh, I dare someone to make fun of Mario
Doesn't
Lopez.
He worry about the face being on TV?
Well, he does duck and move a lot. Yeah, you know, he does, man. He's a defensive fighter. He's more like Floyd for sure, but no, he's a good guy. You know, he's a great host. I mean, I remember he was a kind of correspondent during my period there, and he was on Dancing with the Stars at the same time. I'm like,
right.
I'm going to lose my job to this guy on air.
You really knew it was coming, didn't you?
It was coming, but at the same time, they actually wanted me to do more work, and I believe that was the way they knew I wasn't going to do it, and then to get Mario in there as well. And
right.
I mean, he's lasted 10 years there, and he's great, and he's done great. He saved the show.
How do you like doing TV? You did Killer Karaoke.
Yeah.
That lasted, what, 5 episodes
at
most?
No, that's like 6, 7. I'm kind of the show killer. You know, put me on your show and it's over.
Wait a second.
Yeah, no, I'm good like that. You guys got about one more day here in L.A. You know?
that's good to know.
No, but, you know, I love doing those shows. And I developed enough TV skills through Extra to host a Killer Karaoke, to host a show like Don't Forget the Lyrics. Luckily, when those become available to me, I jump on them. You know, they're fun. I mean,
right.
No one gets hurt. And I don't take myself too seriously. I never have. And so being a host of something like Killer Karaoke suits me really well.
Okay, back to the 90s. Talk about the women.
There were so many
groups. Throwing themselves at you.
There's a weird point there when the first record in Lemonade and Brownies, and you go out and have your fun, and then you know what changes everything? Is money. Once you make money and then like lawsuits can be involved and stuff like that, you get a little smart real quick. You're like, you know, I don't even want to put myself in a position where I have to defend myself even though I'm innocent. You
right.
know, I mean, because just all of a sudden you get all this money for like, oh my God, I can't believe you wrote a song. And it's just people are, you know, there's millions of records being sold. There's lots of dough involved. So I just wanted to take myself out of that. And I had a girlfriend, you know, for 20 years. I'm married to her now. I sent a girlfriend for 20 years. I've known her for 20
years.
Yeah, but, you know, we broke up. We got back together. But she's been my best friend. So like, the longer our success went on in the band, the more I was committed to her, you know. But the women were what you wanted out there in the 90s. It was crazy. It's still crazy today. They're called groupies for a reason.
So you know? How did you get them? Did you send a
security? What do you mean?
Well, no,
oh,
no,
okay.
Listen.
No,
did
no.
you send a security guard, hey, the one in the front row is really cute, or do they find their way to your room? Like, what is the way you would get them at the time?
We had a guy on tour named Slep who was, you know, right now.
Slep?
Yes, Slep.
Okay.
S-L-E-P.
Slep.
His friend thought he was naming him Schlep Rock and called him Slep because he got the nickname wrong. Kind of like a Baba Booey type thing.
Right.
He would go out and find girls and bring them back after. He kind of was part security, part gal wrangler, if you will. But, you know, if a girl wants to get backstage, it's the old adage, and she's hot, she can, like, show a boob or, like, you know, promise a favor, and it's not a problem. I mean, you know what I mean?
So
you're men. I mean, there are chicks out there in the parking lot getting the show right now, if you know what I'm saying.
Hey,
that security out there.
There is no backstage at our radio station. I've only been backstage. I've been to the chips and salsa level. I've never been to the backstage level with the lead singer.
Yeah, you know what, though? It's funny. I you know those meet and greet things? And the VIP packages.
Yeah.
I always feel so bad because you see them come in and they're like, all right, I'm going to party with the band all day. Or like back in the 90s, there would be these contests, you know, that the radio stations would do with the labels that the bands would agree to do. Party all night backstage with the band. And literally they'd get backstage, you'd be in a janitorial closet signing something with like a miniature golf pencil and they'd get their thing and run out and go, wait, is that the part? Is that, we're done?
Right.
That's it? You know,
that's
so
it.
That whole backstage David Lee Roth party with midgets and strippers things, that's kind of a thing of the past, where the real parties go on or on the bus, because that's the band's safe spot.
Right.
You know, you're not going to be running around security hall, especially today with cameras and all that stuff. I don't. The party
God,
was.
Can
on.
You imagine
no.
if those cameras
no,
were
no,
around
no, no,
in
no,
the,
no, no,
mid-90s,
no,
late 90s?
No.
Wow.
There's a visceral reaction I have to that. That no, I couldn't. I can't. I don't know how bands get away with it today. And having a girlfriend or maintaining one and being a band. And I'm not even saying you would have to even involve yourself in any sort of you know, any sort of a malicious activity. Just the threats or someone on Twitter saying, hey, you were great last night. Like, I mean, oh, my God, the jokes. It's just even the accusations you'd be fielding all day. I feel sorry for these new bands. But there are no new bands anymore. It's all DJs.
Right.
Pete.
So I don't have a problem with that.
So let me get this question out before you hit me. So
I will never hit you.
Oh, jeez.
All right. Do you look at Justin Bieber and go, he's really not doing anything wrong? He's a kid with some money, and he might be doing some drugs. He might be having sex with some women, and he might be being rude. He's 20 years old, has been given a truckload of cash, and he's got some talent. People are like, oh, he's falling off the deep end. It's all going to go to hell. He's a 20-year-old with some money, and isn't he reaping the benefits like you did? I mean,
I was 29 with no talent, about 100th with the cash he had, and doing way worse things than Justin Bieber was.
Right.
No one cared. It's a great story. It's fun to tell on the front pages. It makes you look on TMZ and Perez Hilton. You know, he's got $100 million. He's the best-looking guy in the world. He's 20 years old. He's got some talent. I mean, I'd be doing the same thing. Everybody in this room would
be doing
this. Think
about when you were 20.
Come on.
Absolutely. I was going crazy
Come
at 20,
on,
and
man.
I had no money. I mean, whatsoever.
I feel the same. To judge, like, I mean, this whole movie is something we've seen a million times. Now, how does this end?
Right.
That's a whole different thing.
Right.
And hopefully there's mentors around him. And I know there's people that care, like Scooter, his manager, and Usher that went down to Panama and said, dude,
right,
we're not telling you no, but we're telling you got to pick and choose your spots. I think he had that conversation that I had. My managers gave with me. And, like, you know, it's just a different world now where the spotlight is so on him. And I just hopefully he learns from it. You know, I mean, not every boy band talent, super talent, turns into Justin Timberlake, but I think Justin Bieber has a shot.
Mm-hmm.
How talented is Timberlake?
He's the funniest guy on Saturday Night Live.
Right.
He's the best musician in the world.
Yep.
He's an incredible actor.
Yep.
He's the best basketball player in the NBA Entertainment League. I'll have you know this because I played in that league. There's nothing. He makes you angry with his talent.
He's a great golfer, too.
He's a great golfer.
It drives me nuts.
Yeah.
I want to hate him, but I like it.
And he's the nicest guy in the world, too.
Yeah.
You know, I remember once, a couple years ago, 10 years ago, my now wife, she goes, oh, my God, I love Justin so much. I love him. And I go, Justin, you know, my girlfriend loves you. And he goes, one second. He went over and grabbed her and took her on a dance floor and danced with her a whole song.
How do you dance with Justin Timberlake?
Well, I've never danced again with my wife, believe me. You know what I'm saying? There's a lot of grinding going on, and there's a lot of mopping up after my wife got off the floor. You know what I'm saying? So he's just a super guy.
Right.
Yeah. But, you know, guys like that, you just want to root for.
Yeah.
I root for Justin Timberlake and his success, and I'm happy with everything. And I just think he should be the blueprint for Justin Bieber. And let's not give up on him yet. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Look, and at that age, we were all suburban kids buying hip-hop, you know what I mean, wearing our hats sideways. I don't care what anybody in this room says, we were all doing that, because only 90% of hip-hop in the late 80s and 90s was being bought by suburban white kids, all right? So he's just doing his thing. We'll see where it pans out, though. But he's getting into kooky territory. I don't like the dad parting with him, I'll tell you that.
Yeah.
That's a bad look.
It's a little weird.
It's a bad look.
Yeah. Who did you absolutely hate back in the day?
Hate?
Yeah.
Hate's a really strong word, and I think, you know, Pete, I don't really hate anybody, because I know what it's like to be hated, you know, and it kind of sucks. There's people that I had beef with, but it was, hate's too strong. I wasn't going to let anybody's, like, sort of hate for me get in the way of my good time, so my hate would have to be reciprocated, and I never got that far.
Okay. All right. Mark McGrath in studio. I'm going to take another break. We're going to check news, and we're going to do, where is it? Right here. Guess the lyrics. You're going to be playing against Jill, who's back in Chicago, and Jill knows every single song.
Oh, okay? Well, she's going to kill me.
Jill, no, I'm really not.
Jill, you ready to go with this? We're going to do this after news?
I guess I have no choice. I'm terrified. Okay.
I don't either, Jill, so we're in this together.
I don't.
By the way, during news, I'm going to take a picture of Mark's hair and tweet it out real quick.
Propecia.
It's 720 WGN.
Back to Hollywood and the Pete McMurray Show on 720 WGN.
720 WGN, the lead singer of Sugar Ray, Mark McGrath, still with us. And we do have to mention that we're staying at the Culver Hotel right down the street from NBC Sports Studios. Scott?
Thank you so much to the Culver Hotel. You can visit them at theculverhotel.com. Of course, they are centrally located, 20 minutes from everything. You want to go to the beach? 20 minutes. You want to go to Hollywood? 20 minutes. You want to go to Santa Monica? 20 minutes. And they've got a live band in the lobby every single night and the best happy hour in the state of California.
It's my band, Sugar Ray. So.
Hey, listen. They might do it. The Culver
you want to play
Hotel.
In the lobby? We can make it happen.
No problem.
TheCulverHotel.com.
And you know the history of that place, right? You probably said it 100 times.
The Munchkins stayed there.
The Munchkins stayed there during the making of The Wizard of Oz. That's an absolute truth.
Crazy.
Yeah, it's amazing.
And there's rumors, I believe, that the Duke owned it at one point.
Hey.
John Wayne?
At one, I believe. I was
reading there another
up,
Duke?
I was reading up a little bit.
Really? So you think they tell us?
Well, I mean, they're worried about now. We can't worry about 70 years ago.
Yeah, we're very discreet out here in Hollywood about our stars, obviously.
You see it on TMZ last night?
Jill, are you ready to play Guess the Name of This Classic Rock Song with Mark McGrath?
I am ready. Now I know how Rob felt when he went head-to-head against Bill Curtis.
It's tough.
Oh, okay. Please, it's tough.
Lyrics I'm actually terrible at. So this should be,
really?
Yeah. No, I'm good at history and trivia. Lyrics,
okay.
No good.
Just say your name if you know the song.
Okay.
Just if you know the song.
Right.
Gotcha.
Instead of a bell, you say your name. All right. Here's the first one. The Exodus is here. The happy ones are near. Let's get together before we get much older.
Oh, I know this one.
So do I.
The Exodus is here. The happy ones are near. Let's get together before we get much older.
Oh, my God. I can't think
of
it.
Your listeners are going, you idiots.
Oh! Uh-oh.
Guess the name of this classic rock song. Jill Erchek and Mark McGrath from Sugar Ray.
It's on the tip of my tongue. Okay, all right, we suck next.
We're looking for Baba O'Reilly. Classic.
Oh,
so bad.
That is hard when you do it this way. Okay.
God, I wish I didn't smoke pot for him.
Don't worry about it. I didn't. And I still didn't get it. Okay,
this
next.
This game is off to a
No, wait. I have to say, doing the lyrics is a lot harder than when I played Rock and Roll Jeopardy.
Lyrics is so hard. I hosted Don't Forget the Lyrics, and I was worse than the contestants. I'm terrible at lyrics.
It's hard. Okay.
All right. Next song. Freedom's just another word for nothing
Jill.
Left.
Janis Joplin.
The name of the song?
Freedom's just another word for... I can't think of the name of the song. You know what I'm talking about? Okay.
Well, Janis
Doesn't
Joplin
that count?
Is correct.
Yeah, okay.
Got to give it to her.
Yeah, I don't think I'm rocking.
I know it's not Mercedes-Benz, so...
You could say, you know I know what it is. I don't think
I know
what it is.
Me and Bobby McGee.
Thank you.
Me and Bobby
okay.
McGee.
I haven't... Right. This is like twisting my brain. Good.
Guess the name of this classic rock song with Mark McGrath. Here we go. It ain't me. It ain't me. I
Jill.
Ain't no.
Jill. It ain't me. A fortunate son.
Yes,
good one.
Wow,
nice.
I told
one.
You she was good.
She's
man.
Darn good.
Damn, that is good.
You can get a little melody in there too, Pete. Which is nice.
Wow. All right, next song. Jill, are you ready?
Yes.
Mark, are you ready?
I'm ready.
Mark, it's Jill 2. Mark McGrath 0. Yeah. Mm-hmm. On the day I was born, the nurses all gathered
Jill.
Round. Jill.
On the day I was born. Oh, my God. I know the song, and I said it too fast.
For Mark.
Does Mark get it?
On the day I was born, the nurses all gathered round, and they gazed in wonder.
Bad to the bone.
Oh.
I know I don't get the point.
You don't get the point. Mark, do you know
I'm
the name
sorry,
of the song?
I'm sorry, Mark.
Yes, I do. Mr. George Thorogood, man to the bone.
I'm sorry, Mark. I got in my own head. Okay.
No, you know what? You get excited, and that's
you do.
I understand.
You do.
But Jill, thanks for giving me my one
point. Hey, you know what? No problem.
guess the name of this classic rock song. Here we go. End of Passion Play, Crumbling Away. I'm your source of self-destruction. Veins that pump with fear.
Mark.
Mark.
Metallica.
Well, I'll give it to you. Yes, Metallica.
We're just doing band names, we said,
well,
right?
Well, Master of Puppets.
You get it because Metallica. I said Janis, yeah.
Yes.
But we did. Okay, I'm sorry.
It was very good.
I'm so freaked out right now that I didn't want to give the song.
I understand how you feel.
Metallica Slayer Exodus?
Metallica? Uh-huh. Okay.
Okay.
To all. The game's getting exciting.
This is very exciting right here. All right. Next song. Here we go. Come gather around, people, wherever you roam, and admit that the waters around you have grown, and accept it that soon you'll be drenched to the bone if your time to you is worth saving.
Wow.
Whoa.
Not even nothing.
I'm kind of blank here.
Can
you
Billy
repeat
Corgan?
That?
That is incorrect. Jill, you want to
Barry Manilow? No. Can you repeat it?
Come gather round, people, wherever you roam, and admit that the waters around you have grown, and accept it that soon you'll be drenched to the bone if your time to you is worth saving?
Oh, man. I don't know. I'm blanking on that one.
Looking for Bob Dylan, The Times They're a-Changin'.
Oh, yeah. What,
not a Dylan fan.
No, me either.
I don't think I've ever heard a Dylan song all the way through that I didn't have to listen to.
Really?
It's not a big Bob Zimmerman fan. Just never have been.
Bob Zimmerman.
Bob Zimmerman. Okay. All right.
Hibbings, Minnesota there.
Guess the name of this classic rock song. Here we go. And when the brokenhearted people living in the world agree.
Jill. Let it be.
Damn. God, she is just kicking your butt, Mark McGrath.
Well, 3-2, right?
Wow.
Wow.
But still.
I'm only a five.
I'm telling you. Confidence.
Lyrics are not my bad.
No, mine either. I'm scared to death over here.
You're doing great. You're doing great.
Man. Bro. All right. Here we go.
Got any Sugar Ray song?
We'll be fighting in the streets. We didn't do that.
Mark.
Mark.
That's the who?
Okay, we'll accept that.
Yeah, no, yes. You were accepting that.
Yes.
There you go. I didn't even hear what Pete said.
Won't get fooled again.
Very good. Great song. Okay.
All right.
So we're tied.
Yes, we have two left.
Uh-oh.
Who would have thought? You know?
Actually.
Jill, can I say this? You are such a worthy competitor, really.
And
I bet you would give me a real run for my money on Rock and Roll Jeopardy.
Absolutely. Wow, that means a lot. It really does come from
you.
Or
she might want to jump your bones.
Let's do the next one
either
wins.
Way,
how about that? I win. The next one wins. Here
okay.
we go. Are you guys ready?
Yes.
There's a sign on the wall, but she wants to be sure. Because you know sometimes words have two meanings. In a tree.
Mark. Led Zeppelin.
Yes.
I am so mad at myself. They're one of my favorite bands. Way to go, Mark. I couldn't think of the name.
Just when you think I'm out. You know what I mean? I will say this. If we didn't do band names only, I don't think I did a full band in a song title. But I did win, and I'm not here to brag.
Congratulations, Mark McGrath.
But I was about to join old Steve Bartlett, or whatever the hell his name is, in hiding. If I lost that one. What's his name? What's the Chicago?
Steve Bartman.
Bartman.
Yeah,
Bartlett. Come on.
But hey, you know what?
Fan.
Doing the lyrics is a different side of your brain. That was hard, but that was impressive.
How impressive was that? I tell you, she knows every single song.
Jill knew everyone, and if she didn't, it's because her brain froze for a second.
It's totally froze, and I
didn't know everyone.
The Led Zeppelin one, I was singing it, but I'm like, what is the name? Yeah,
mine was
weird.
A Miracle on Ice. We should have lost. You know, we got beat 10-3 like 2 weeks earlier by the Bruins, and we beat you. We beat you 4-3. But Jill, worthy competitor. But you know, a real quick thing about rock and roll trivia and Jeopardy. When I was the champion, I'd be out partying all night. We'd do these radio interviews in the morning, and I'd get on a bus, and Zippy and Duda in the morning would be challenging me in Rock and Roll Jeopardy, and they'd be like, "All right, dude, name the roadie for Spooky Tooth in '72." And I'm like, "All right, dude, you got me. You know, I'm coming off a 6-hour bender, still drunk.
Man.
You know, that was you. Me.
That's tough.
I love watching that show. I'm like, I could take McGrath.
No,
I could do it.
There's a buzzer dynamic though that people freeze themselves out immediately because like Jill. Or I was doing.
Right.
You think you know right away, and you panic, and you hit their buzzer, and they're like, "Oh!" And then you're locked out.
You do because you're singing the lyrics. You're like, "Oh." You're singing the song, and you're like, "Give me the name."
Totally.
Instead of
But Pete, excellent job of not teasing the melody at all.
Yeah, you did.
No, seriously, you were just like monotone. You know, you're like
that's how I sing, Mark.
Oh, sweet child of mine.
I'm an actor.
Welcome to the jungle.
I don't know if you know this, but I'm starring in Sullivan and Son TBS sitcom. That's why we're out here in Los Angeles.
Well, give me your line
because I can't actually say it because there's swearing in it.
Can't say on the air.
Oh.
But we're going to change it. We're going to change it to jerk.
Right. I want to hear you two do it because it was perfect earlier.
Okay, go ahead and feed it to me. Hold on.
Brian Doyle Murray is sitting at a bar and he's chatting with an older woman at a bar, Christine Ebersole, who is a Tony Award winner. And she says, "Oh, are you getting one of these touchy, lovey, kissy moods?"
Mm-hmm.
And Brian Doyle Murray says, "Well, you didn't complain last night when I kissed you." And she says, "Well, you didn't kiss me." Brian Doyle Murray says, "Well, then who did I kiss?"
And then I say, "Me." And you never called, you jerk. Thank you.
Thank you.
Nailed it.
I don't know what
you're
doing Emmy season, but you better be ready.
Thank you. You better be
ready. And I feel character arc coming real quickly for you.
Boy.
You're
going
to be moving here, Pete. I'm telling you.
I'm not kidding. For that line, I had four people come and coach me.
Four people,
including Steve. He's like, "I don't want you to screw this up because this is the big punchline. You're going to get lots of laughs."
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, see, when the red light comes on, it's a whole different animal, though.
You really start
getting in your head. You're like, "Who am I? Oh, my God, I got a line to do. No one loves me." Later.
Did you notice the big buzzer that would go off on the ceiling when they want everybody to be quiet?
Yeah, it was like a bell when you were in high school.
Yeah, that's when it gets scary.
Yeah, you hear that.
Oh, yeah.
And they don't mess around because there's no room. You can't go into the studio. And, I mean, they lock it down. These things cost a lot of money. Tape costs a lot of money.
Have you guys shot already? It sounds like you already did
something. We
shoot
tomorrow. We rehearsed today.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
Rehearsed.
Is it a live audience?
Yes.
That's scary.
We tape twice tomorrow. We do it at 3, and they record that, and then we do it again at 10.
That's cool. So you get the best of the both takes.
Right.
What I would not do, Pete, if you do not get a rolling in the after in the aisle laughter from the crowd,
right.
Just act like you did. You know, because I don't know if the crowd is gonna give you what you want.
He's the last line before they go to commercial break. He is the last.
Oh, I am. And I can't screw it up.
And he told me,
do not screw this
he
up.
He is the laugh that they need.
That's a big spot. That's worse than having 12 lines, because you got to sell something and do a commercial break.
Yeah, you got to sell it, and then it's seen, and then they move it out and move new people in. It's rough.
I believe in you, Pete, and I believe they do too.
Let me take a quick break. We're live in Hollywood. It's WGN. It's playing. I'm trying. Oh, there it is, right there. There it is. That's nice. Look at how nice that is. Mark McGrathy, lead singer of Sugar Ray.
I'm in college right now. Listen to this.
Is nice. There's chicks around. You want to make out.
This is 1999, and I'm waiting for a check every quarter now when this song comes out. Off the charts, but in our hearts, ladies and gentlemen. Yes, indeed. Every morning, 1999. Well, went all the way to number one in July of 1999.
Oh, that's special right there.
Fun stuff.
You get a check in the mail every month for 10 grand or something?
Every quarter you get we wrote a few, so I get about a teacher's salary every quarter.
Are you kidding me?
No, and it's something that I give I'll be able to pass down and give my kids, and it's like a built-in pension plan. And if you're fortunate as a songwriter to ever have a hit, it's a nice little built-in residual, if you will. I mean, and imagine what like a Johnny Resnick gets. He wrote these songs by himself, or a Noel Gallagher.
Right.
You know, I know what I get.
Yeah.
And I wrote 25%, 30% of certain hits, but to be in those shoes.
Can Pete and I write a hit song with you?
I think so.
Sit down.
I mean, give it a shot.
No way.
I mean, we just want to put in about four
words. We'd be drinking
words.
And bugging him.
Guys, get out of the room here.
That's what we did.
Right. If you get a teacher's salary every quarter, we want a substitute salary every quarter, and we would be content.
I hear you. It's the pension plan that's the rock and roll pension plan. No one puts away any money.
You struggled for so many years, right?
Yeah. You know, and having his song, it's a delightful thing. And the great thing is the whole internet thing is starting to be all monetized. Like ASCAP and BMI are the people that go out and get your money when radio plays it, are figuring out how to monetize when you're played on Sirius, when you're played on a blog, when you're played whatever. So you're starting to see that increase as well, too. So I can't complain. And no songwriter who's ever had a hit can complain.
I mean, just think about how many houses were bought, cars were bought, from Adele's one album. Oh. She made one album. You haven't heard another album. She has disappeared. She's raising her child. She's married to some dude. One album.
She wrote half that album.
Yes.
Yeah.
Look at the guys that that are friends of the show, like Rick Nielsen from Cheap Trick. Think about all the hits that he wrote. Jim Peterik. Mm-hmm. I mean, come on.
I'll never have to work again with that song.
Ever. Ever. Never to ever. I want you to think back to the late 90s. Get back to the women thing for a second. Most famous woman that you hooked up with.
Ah, boy, that's a toughie.
You're trying to measure their fame, or you don't want to say their name.
He doesn't want to say it.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't really.
You know. You know what I'm saying? It's a weird thing. I don't know. I'm married.
Let me readjust the question. What was the most exciting date you went on?
How about a celebrity woman backstage?
There was rumors that I dated Madonna, which is the most exciting story. And that was one that I still do, let fester.
Yeah.
You know, and what happened was one night, the Oscars were in town. This was about 1998. And I didn't know anything about paparazzi or how that worked. And it was just starting to really evolve this paparazzi culture. And Madonna goes, Mark, will you walk me to my car? You know, and I'm like, all right. You know what I mean? This thing is really working, this pop thing. So I walk her to her car, and these flash bulbs go out like you've never seen. I've still never seen something like that before. And it was Oscar week, and everybody's in town. I take her to the car. She gives me a little kiss on the lips, you know, and that's it, you know. And she drives away, and all of a sudden, the paparazzi turns on me. Starts going, sugar gay, and all this. And, like, now I'm like, I'm going to fight. I'm drunk, and I'm like, you know, I'm from Newport Beach, you know what I mean? Tough guys out there grow up on the Baywatch beaches, you know what I mean? I'm like, so I look for the littlest guy in the herd, and I'm like, I'm going to beat you, you know, all that and all that. And so all this weirdness went on that I didn't know what I could.
created. I woke up the next morning, and it's like, Ricky Martin out, Mark McGrath in, Madonna's new boy toy, you know, and he's a fighter, too. And it showed me going after literally a 12-year-old kid who was just hanging out there, you know, me, tough guy, trying to pick that out. So that was the story of the Madonna thing, and it was rumored that I've got together with her. But, you know, there's been Carmen Electra, Paris Hilton members, but, you know, not true.
Yeah.
But I stay away from them because, you know, it makes me look good. It makes me look like Lothario. I kind of stayed away from the famous ones, you know what I mean? Because that's where the trouble is.
What do you think of Madonna now? Is she kind of a punchline?
I don't think so. I mean, I think she's one of the most iconic women or people of our era.
Right.
She's still so talented. She gets out there and puts on a show that rivals Prince's in my book. So, like, is she a punchline?
But what was the award show that she was on? And it's just, maybe it's her attitude that I don't like.
I think she's wrestling with the fact that
she's getting older,
that's
and
all.
She wants
that's
to
all.
Be younger.
This is Hollywood,
she?
You guys, and there's no one that there was more beautiful for longer, and she's just trying to hang on. And I think maybe now we're getting to a point where we're like, maybe the bustier is not the best look anymore.
Right.
You
yeah.
know, and I think she's wrestling with that, but like, she's a human being. I like her attitude. She does not care. She does not give a, if you know what I'm saying.
Yeah,
so she never has, and she still doesn't. But she's became a friend of mine. I've known her for a little while, and I get to go to her Oscar party every year. So I'm like,
are you kidding me?
Nice. Yeah. I am like,
really?
All right, we can invite him again. Yeah, I can see them like getting in. All right. He's been every year. Okay, let's see. Scott Baio or Mark McGrath? All right, McGrathson.
Listen, Baio is always at the Playboy Mansion. I don't understand that.
Because he's still looks great, and he's like, you know, he's 6 years old, and he looks like he's 20 still, Scott Baio. He's a good guy, though. Good guy. And, I mean, talk about a guy who's had a list of women. No one rivals Scott Baio in the city.
It's unbelievable.
Nobody.
It's unbelievable.
And what's unbelievable is his willingness to talk about it, too. It's
right.
just great, you know, if you know what I'm saying.
So is Madonna's party at her house? Where is it?
She has a party up, and it varies from year to year, but her and her manager, Guy Siri, throw this killer Oscar party. And it's the one, like, now I'm not getting invited anymore because I'm talking about it. You know what I mean? Great. But it's one after the Vanity Fair party. It's the one where everybody lets their hair down. You walk in, you'll see, I'll never forget the first year I was there, Christopher Waltz holding his Oscar for Inglourious Basterds, which is one of my favorite all-time movies. And I'm sitting there going, oh, my God, there is him. He just won his Oscar. And he just approached me. He's drinking a beer. Hey, what's up, man? I'm talking to him.
Right.
Holding the Oscar. I'm holding a Bud Light. I go, what's he? Oh, boy, our lives are different, aren't they? It was really strange. But it's one of those parties where everybody just, you know, lets their hair down. And Jack Nicholson shows up. And the DJ is blaring. And, like, it is a party. And there's no media there. There's no nothing.
Damn, man.
You're not supposed
How
to talk
nice
about
that?
The party.
Right.
And like I said, I'm
yep,
sure I'll never be invited again.
I'm sorry.
But, boy, there's some good years. I mean, me and my wife go out to two parties a year, and it's a Jimmy Kimmel, Howard Stern party he throws, and it's this Madonna Oscar Guy Oseri party every year, which is fantastic. And Guy Oseri, actually, right now, is a guy that I've grown up in Hollywood forever. Saw him first in a Donald D video, who was part of Ice-T's Rhyme Syndicate. In the background, I saw him at a Beastie Boys show in 89 or 90. I go, dude, you're in that Donald D video. He's like, how did you recognize me? Long story short, he's managing U2 now.
You're kidding
wow.
me.
Disgust.
Wow.
Yeah, no, it's a guy. The dreams are still made in Hollywood. He's a great guy as well.
God, that's impressive.
Good stuff, man.
Man.
Yeah.
And do you have a kid?
I've got two.
Okay.
Little Lyden, little Hartley. They're twins, and they'll be four April 29th. And, you know, this is a fun age, as you parents know out there. When they're four, they're little people. You're seeing what they're going to become. They've
right.
got attitudes. You can spend a day with your kid now.
Yeah.
And that's when they become a lot of fun.
That's great. We're all parents now. I got an 8-year-old, man.
Oh, you do? Isn't
yeah.
that crazy?
Yeah.
I think last time I talked to you, or, you know, first time we talked, you were having a was either on the way or it was young.
God, I can't remember. I mean,
yeah, I can't
you know,
either. I can't either. what are we talking
I've
about?
I've been drinking in LA for the last 3 days.
Good for
wow.
you. You shouldn't remember.
Mark McGrath, are you coming through Chicago this summer? Do you know?
I think we're, as far as we were talking about earlier, I saw my thing. We're getting to Alton, Illinois.
Alton. Scott, where is
apparently
Alton?
Scott, what happens in there?
Well, that's 6 hours south of Chicago near St. Louis.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I won't be making that trip.
I think we're going to get somewhere near Chicago. Don't hold me to it. But go to the Under the Sun Tour website, and you'll find out. Or tweet me at @Mark_McGrath. I will know the answer for sure in an hour, and love to hear from you anyway.
And by the way, we put your hair on Twitter if people want to check it out on @PeteMcMurray.
And if people would like to know about my hair that I still have it at this age, it's because I'm not sponsored by these people, but in 2004, I started losing my hair a little bit.
Really?
It was receding a little bit, and I'm on TV, and I just got the extra gig, and I'm like, oh, no. My hair can't go. Not a lot of bald entertainment hosts out there. You know what I'm saying? And I went to a buddy of mine who was losing his hair radically, and his hair should have been gone by now. And I went, dude, why is your hair holding on? He interrupted me mid-speech and said, Propecia. I started taking it in 2004. Haven't lost a hair since. You don't get any hair. It's not a miracle worker. But no guy likes to admit he's losing his hair. But if you get in early, take a little Propecia, you'll be straight.
Is it a pill or you
pill,
a shampoo?
Pill. The only it's a pill. Nothing works topically. Everything only works orally.
So you're taking a pill. Can you still get it up?
Yes, that's the whole thing. Everybody's like, what about your sex life? I'm like, let me talk to your wife about my sex life. All right? And I was like, oh, forget about it. I've noticed an increase. You know, to tell you the truth. You know, so.
Really?
Oh yeah, because I've got my hair still. I'm having sex.
I'm afraid if I start taking stuff like that, I'll grow hair on my back because I'm Lebanese.
There's none of that. Mm-hmm. None of your Lebanese DNA will be manifested through Propecia. I promise you that. It's good stuff. And by the way, not a paid sponsor, just something that really worked for me. And guys, if you're losing your hair, don't deny it to yourself. It's only going away. Get it early. It's the only thing where something can be done.
Wow, he's passionate about
that. No, but I am, because you got to have your hair, dude.
You got to have your hair.
Life's too hard out there without your hair.
Mark McGrath, it's really good to see you, man.
That's making me sweat on that last one.
I got to do commercials. We got to land the ship. The show's over.
Pete, I appreciate you having me, bro. Really, I'm glad we got to do this.
I'm glad we hooked up.
Nothing but cool to me forever. Scott, thanks for having me, brother.
Yeah.
Ryan, pleasure to meet you. It's been a pleasure.
It's good to see you.
You too, brother.